Yeah, I've been in Berkeley 13 years. I'm homeless. I do have a drinking problem, right? But when there's a Cal Stanford game, I've been drinking in the same parking lot. They all drink in. I get a drinking in public ticket, and they put out wine, beer, and whiskey, and nothing happens. Who wants to start? The police or the college? That's all I got to say.
Thank you.
David Beauvais, followed by Tim Wiggins.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is David Beauvais. I'm an attorney here in Berkeley and a resident of the city of Berkeley. And I've lived here for 7 years, and I moved here because I like the tolerance that I perceived Berkeley to be about. And when I see a program such as the one that has been initiated on Telegraph, apparently unilaterally by our city manager, I have real cause for concern. Now, I'm really glad that they finally came to talk to us tonight rather than, even though they didn't make it last week. And I'm disappointed that they left before we had a chance to speak, and maybe they could learn a few things about what's going on Telegraph, but apparently they're not interested. But they did say a couple of things that are very significant. One of them was pointed out by Mr. Channon. The city manager doesn't expect this program to do anything. He doesn't expect it to work. The second thing that was significant was Chief Butler's comment that they're groping for a law that will make it illegal for people to sit or lie on the sidewalk because they don't have one. And that's what the program is about. This is not a street cleaning program. This is a youth cleansing program and a poor cleansing program. And they use that green machine as a tool to move people constantly, to harass them. I've seen it myself. And I don't usually sit on the sidewalk on Telegraph, but I was there to witness four cops threaten arrest of some youth that were sitting in front of Cody's, out of the way of pedestrians. Now, why can't we do the street cleaning early in the morning? Why do we have to do it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday? Why do we have to do it with people who are, with wheelchairs have to use the sidewalk, and we have this big bulky machine? That machine is obstructing the sidewalk, not the people. This city has got to accept all of its residents. If they're committing a crime, that can be dealt with. But this program is about discrimination. It's evil at the core, and we have a city manager that has told us that he's the one that instigated it. And I don't agree with Mr. Worthington. I think everybody's responsible for their own actions.
Thank you.
And that was attorney David Beauvais speaking in Berkeley about the Operation Avenue Watch program. Chris Worthington, the man he referred to in the last remark, is the most liberal council member who is trying to defend the city manager who actually initiated this month-long program which funded the police, paid them lots of overtime to cover the four blocks near the University of California on Telegraph Avenue with cops in order to write tickets to young people for sitting down in the absence, get this, in the absence of a sitting ban. So in essence, the city manager was creating and funding with city money his own sitting ban. Worthington was trying to defend the city manager, even though he opposed the program, by saying that the city manager has to do what Mayor Shirley Dean tells him to do. A lot of us disagreed with Mr. Worthington, who, even though he's the most liberal member on the council, also seems to be something of a mealy-mouthed politician who did nothing while this program came into effect, didn't speak out about it, didn't stand up and publicly oppose it until dozens and dozens of people, in essence, shouted at him to come out of his house and do something about it. And then he's made some comments about it, and then now he opposes it. Not the most heartening prospect for the future. Let's hear some more.
Osha Newman.
Osha Newman.
Good
you know, it's really late at night, and you begin to wonder, why are we talking? I mean, they're not here, but it actually gives us an opportunity to talk among ourselves. And what we know is that they're really not concerned about behavior, they're concerned about our being. They don't want us to be there. And it's a really malignant spirit that's loose in this city, and we know it, and we're the object of it. And, you know, in some ways, the real issue has now gotten huge. It's gotten much bigger than this meeting, sort of overnight, with the news that on Tuesday, the city council is planning to pass these, to begin the effort of passing laws against sitting on all the sidewalks in Berkeley. That's like a major change for Berkeley. I mean, we've been fighting that since 1995. You know, if they're able to do it, the law that they want to pass on Tuesday is much worse than Measure O. And it's a law against people. I mean, it turns Berkeley into the kind of city that all of us have been fighting about to try and preserve. It's really our last stand, I feel. And I think that all of us here, I mean, it's good to keep talking, but all of us had to think about how we're going to fight that. You know, and if they were here, what I would, they talk about the big context. I'll tell you what the context was that occurred to me. And, you know, it's that kind of excited speech that they don't like. They want us to be all calm. Although they should know, I think they need to know that if they do this, there will not be peace in Berkeley. It won't go over easily. There will be difficulties. You know, and the more angry we get, the more we become their image of what's wrong, the more they hate our being. We can't get stuck in that. You know, but really to me, what the context that I thought about was that in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil, they had death squads, you know, that target kids in the street. Mm-hmm. They kill the kids on the street, and they do it for the very same reasons. You know, the merchants don't like the business, they steal, they look bad. You know, it's not clean. You know, cleanliness, they used to say Judenrein, it means clean of Jews. You know, cleanliness is fine, but cleanliness can cover all kinds of moral and political discrimination. You know, and I'm not saying that if this is death squad, this is nice Berkeley, but it's the same malignant spirit that's loose. It's a malignant spirit that's going to be Tuesday at this council. And we got to fight it. I mean, we really do. Thank you. Nancy Delaney, followed by Chris Zamani.
I'd like to thank you for holding this and for allowing us to question them. I'm glad they did come. I wish they would have stayed. I'm glad that we get a chance to hear from each other as well. I liked your questions. It reminds me of when Berkeley used to have tan uniforms and tan cars because there was an understanding in Berkeley that when you have a scary police presence with black and this huffiness, that it increases tension and it actually disturbs the town, the peace that the police are supposed to be keeping and growing. The city manager is not elected, nor is the police chief, and a procedure, that any kind of a program like that he wants to bring about, he needs to go through our elected officials in their collective public office, and that's the only way he can do that, and he knows that. He wasn't hired for being stupid. The police, since the early 90s, have been talking to anybody who doesn't own property or have money, like adolescent, with these adolescent insults, but they're wearing guns, and they're wearing badges, and they have clubs, and they have the backing of the town, and of the university, where we don't even have review. And you saw a teeny little bit of it there in Radiver, but people who are on the street have to face it all the time, whether you're activists or youth, as long as you don't have the protection of the society. The other thing is about the sidewalks. I like the idea that they be washed, whether if that machine is going to be used in the middle of the night or early in the morning. But beyond that, I've had this idea for a long time, since we've been talking about the streets and about the sidewalk, is that all of us who use it, the youth, the merchants, the vendors, that we get together and we wash the street together. I think that if we could have a community thing where we wash the street together, maybe have the machine do it once a week in the middle of the night when it's not bothering anybody, but the other time we wash it together because we all use it and because there's other people coming to our town who are using it too, and yet we could make a party out of it. We could maybe, I don't know, yeah, well, we could make a party out of it, you know, and because the sidewalks need to be clean, because just like in a house, like in a shared house, if there's smudges all over, it brings everybody's morale down. Okay, so I just want to thank you.
Thank you. Perhaps you could bring that up to the Public Works Commission, too. Chris Zamani?
Tucker.
Tucker, okay. Your writing is...
My handwriting is impossible.
Thank you.
Okay. Members of the commission and members of the public, hi. Okay. We here tonight have been hearing a lot of different things. We've been hearing, and first of all, I believe that if you add more police to anywhere, you'll find more crime. That if you added them to Beverly Hills, you would find jaywalking, you would find all kinds of crime. As you add more police, you find more crime. It doesn't add up the other way around. Police, you know, there are all kinds of things that people do in the world that could be considered criminal. As Mr. Worthington read that list of crimes, I know probably every single person in this room has broken that list, that small list that he read at one time or another. Therefore, I think he's wrong. I think you shouldn't add more police. I think that's number one. There's enough police already. In fact, there maybe even should be less. But there's enough. I think we need to talk to people. I like Nancy's idea of cleaning the streets together. I like the idea of working together. I like the idea of people talking to each other. I believe that there are two lies being brought up besides the general one that everybody else is talking about. Okay? I'm against anti-Semitism as much as anybody. There's a lie going around that all the street people are wearing swastikas and are Nazis. That's a lie. I haven't seen it. There may be a few, and I'm sure if there are ways that people on the street, people and other people on the street, can deal with that. I'm sure, and I'm also disabled, and I know that, and that's another lie. Because as you saw in the film, it's the cops that are harassing disabled people. There may be a few, but it's minor. It's not a major thing. The major thing that's happening is that the police and the merchants are deciding that only people that buy, that spend money, or they think spend a lot of money, because everybody spends some money, they're the only people that spend a lot of money, okay, can be on the avenue. And that's what's happening.
Thank you. Henry. Ken Sarakin?
Ken
Sarakin.
Sarakin? Yeah, he's probably
going on.
I've been waiting. He's the owner of that.
He owns the
owner.
He was here tonight. Yeah, okay. Larry Hildes.
Wasn't sure if we were going to get this far on the list. I'm also an attorney in Berkeley. I'm a resident. As an attorney, I own a business in Berkeley, such as it is, which is sort of a strange feeling. I'm very frightened by what I've heard tonight from the city manager. I'm also, frankly, frightened by what I'm hearing from Chris Worthington and Don Jelinek. What we're hearing is we have to prevent these terrible, awful laws, and we do. But the way that we're going to prevent them is by using the existing laws to oppress people as much as we can to prove we don't need more. And some of those problematic behaviors, I mean, think about it. We're talking about people who live on the street. People like us who are privileged enough to have homes to go to, we go home, we sit down. We eat. We watch TV. We write. We do whatever we do. We sit there. We drink a beer in our homes. We lie down and we go to sleep. That's precisely what these people are doing, except they don't have any home to go to.
Right.
They do this where they live. These are not problematic behaviors. If you want to make them less problematic, give them a home.
Right.
We are attempting to deal with social problems by using the police. The police are not a social service agency. As Dean said, if you put enough police in a place, you will find crime. That is not a social policy. That is not an appropriate policy. And the way to fight really scary repression is not by doing pretty scary repression. We need, with the money we're spending on overtime, we need counseling for these kids. I mean, they're not on the street, most of them, because they want to be, and those that are probably need counseling too. They need places to go, they need treatment programs, they need a future. That will cost less money than double time will cost. If we're going to fight this on Tuesday, we need to start fighting it now, and we need to fight the symptoms of what's coming. And I think that we can, and I think we need to save Berkeley while it's still Berkeley.
Yes. Thank you. Michael Deal, followed by Douglas Horst.
Okay, I talked last time, so I'm going to talk about some different things. We're having this push to have our sidewalk sitting made against the law, the resurrection of part of Measure O, people putting their packages on the sidewalk. I pushed for getting lockers, so fortunately we got that. There are people going out in the city of Berkeley now trying to get signatures, not on Telegraph. They're being paid $2 a signature. I don't know who they're being paid by. Supposedly, we're supposed to be beyond the deadline for them even doing this. There happens to be an issue being held up to our strengthened rent board that's similar to the San Francisco one that's being held up, but this one is being allowed to happen. I'm learning from talking to people, getting the signatures, that they are finding that the people in Berkeley do not want to sign this. Even at $2 a signature, I talked to one fellow, you know, who also asked me to sign an initiative for executing teenagers. I refused to sign that one either. He then asked me for spare change, and I gave him that. This was in front of City Hall, Civic Center. So, but it seems like that's getting nowhere, and now we got Tuesday coming up, and they're going to try to push it that way to pass it, because they're not finding popular support out there to sign these things. So now they're trying to keep it off the ballot, and they're trying to push this thing, and I don't know what's going on. But I definitely think we need to stand strongly against this attack on people being able to sit on the sidewalks and be part of our community. Simon, Ben Lazar, and myself, we've opened an office long haul to fight against this sidewalk sitting law, and we ask other people to join us, because there's going to be a lot of work needed to be done to stop this. Thank you.
July 23rd, about 15 to 6, and we're on the line with Claire Zellman of the Berkeley Police Review Commission. Hi, Claire.
Hello.
And Claire, how long have you been on the board?
Since the end of February.
And how's it looking to you? How did you get into this business? What's it all about?
Well, the person who was on the board before, Chris Worthington's, my council person's appointee, had to quit the board for various reasons, and he needed a replacement, so I replaced him.
Now, had you had previous experience with that made you concerned about police misconduct?
Yeah, several, but the main one was that I participated in a demonstration against Prop 209 on the UC Berkeley campus in Sproul Hall.
Prop 209 is the proposition which takes the university out of the business of affirmative action, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were demonstrating in support of affirmative action, and we were occupying a building, and the police took out pepper batons, and it was really, really ugly.
You got sprayed yourself?
I didn't get directly sprayed, no, but we were in a very small room, so that everybody in the room had the pleasure of inhaling pepper spray.
These were the UC Berkeley police, which apparently used pepper spray at will, and I guess Berkeley police are also allowed to do that, though there has been a kind of a tumultuous debate, at least around the Berkeley police, regarding the use of pepper spray, and your commission's been involved in that debate, right?
That's right. The Berkeley police are far more careful with everything, but particularly with pepper spray, at this point. They're required to give us use of pepper spray reports every time it's used. They have canisters that you can tell every time that they've been, you know, used. And, you know, the situations in which they're permitted that are more restricted. The UCPD has, generally speaking, has very many fewer restrictions on their activity because they are have very limited accountability to anybody on the campus.
But even though the Berkeley police may be more limited in terms of pepper spray, apparently they and the UC police have been creating a difficult time for young people and homeless people on Telegraph Avenue in the last month around a program called Operation AvWatch, which is kind of drawn up by the city manager in consultation with certain unnamed city council members. It went through no public process, but divvied out $79,000 to pay cops for giving people tickets for sitting on the sidewalk. And I guess your commission got a lot of protest about that and very little defense from merchants. So I understand you invited the Telegraph Avenue people to come who were merchants and might have favored this AvWatch program?
That's right. We had a lot of people come to our meetings and a subsequent public hearing that we held, you know, reporting some very disturbing things that they alleged the police were doing. And not once did anybody defending the program, aside from the city manager and the police chief, who we personally requested to come to the hearing. But
of course, they didn't stay long enough to speak to the public, right? Or
right. They went. They spoke before the public comment period, and then they left. Next time, we're going to hold the public comment period first, so that that doesn't happen. But it was very interesting because a number of merchants called all of us, the commissioners at home, individually before the hearing to share their views, but were, and some of them told me this directly, were afraid to come and speak openly in front of the public, saying, you know, that they did not want street people to be on the street. They didn't want to say that in front of them. They said that they feared repercussions. Personally, I feel that it really undermines the public nature of the commission's business to have some people feel that they're entitled to, you know, call us at home instead of airing their views out in public. And, you know, everyone who speaks in public takes consequences for what they say.
Sure. Street people are more vulnerable than most, since it seemed to have the money and the guns and the power arrayed against them, at least in the last month. I note that there's always been a lot of cynicism about the Berkeley Police Review Commission, though much more powerful than our Santa Cruz Citizens Police Review Board, nonetheless, because of staff cuts and because of seeming disinclination to go after these issues in a policy kind of way. There's been a number of skeptics in the community who said that, you know, the Berkeley Peace Review Commission is sort of a fig leaf PR end of the police department. But what I noticed that these hearings in late July, or late June and early July, was that you took your board, even though it wasn't considering specific cases, on hearing this overwhelming litany of complaints with no defense at all from the merchants in any public way, immediately took the issue to the city council and coming out against the sweeps, urging the end of Operation AvWatch, setting up for the first time in memory, perhaps OSHA Newman did it years ago when he was a police review commissioner, sending a staff member up, or trying to send a staff member up to the Telegraph Avenue area to be available to take complaints, and again, I guess being thwarted by your city manager, Keene, his name is, in doing that. But you took a number of steps. You issued a press release, you went to city council, you tried to get people up there to make themselves available to people who are having problems with the police. This was quite a dramatic step forward. What do you think?
I feel that that we as the commission should do everything that we can to have as much influence over, you know, police affairs as possible, because that's why we're there. You know, we're established by ordinance, which specifies what we can and can't do. And then there's always all these areas where there are things that we think we can do that evidently, you know, other city officials think that we cannot, as in the case of sending a staff member up to Telegraph, where none of us even considered that that would be a problem. And then the city manager ordered the staff not to go. As a result of that, I proposed at the last meeting yesterday that we institute a training program where we will be training members of the public who would like to volunteer to take complaints themselves, and then we'll be able to take a complaint table and complaint forms and all the information about the commission out into wherever part of the community they feel there's a problem.
How did that proposal fare at your meeting yesterday in the evening?
It seemed to be very well supported by the commissioners that were there.
Did you have much public participation last night?
No, there was a member of the public, a law student, who came to tell us about a program that she's starting where law students will be available to represent complainants.
And that was Carol Zellman of the Berkeley Police Review Commission, actually an ally to the people. What a concept. On Saturday at 12 o'clock, be at the town clock and call us at first at 423-HUFF if you want to go down to the California Association of Broadcasters and tell these corporate clowns to stop harassing free radio people through their front group, the FCC. That's going to be again on July 25th on Saturday at 12 o'clock in Santa Cruz, and at 1 o'clock we'll be assembling at Monterey Park. Give me a call for more information, 423-HUFF. I'm out of here because I got 20 seconds left before the beginning of that notorious show with Uncle Dennis.
Earth First Radio.
Take it away, Dennis.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We are totally free. So are you.
Cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, softening everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to hunt. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race. Mountains by the ton, digging up uranium. Bald eagle looking for a place to land. Where it's all gone for nuclear plans. Must we poison water, earth, and air just to cook a piece of toast or blow dry on air? Mistake. is mightier than the sword. But a monkey wrench can do a whole lot more. The revolution is just around the bend. The Mother Earth, be a foe for your friend. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth. Her first. Her first. Her first. Her first. No compromise in defense of Mother Earth. Her first!
All right, Daryl Cherney off the CD. Keep it wild. This is Uncle Dennis, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM. Every Thursday night, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, it is Earth First Radio, and I'm glad to do it for you folks. So let's get on with it. What we are doing here is we're presenting music, as you just heard, news, poetry, and views. We had a whole show last week of poetry, so we're going to spare you this week, not too much poetry.